Good morning. Blessings to you on this holy Sunday of Palms as we begin to enter the great and holy week of our Lord. The first three chapters of the book of Genesis. I always like to return to those first three chapters of Genesis, and I'm finding myself more and more as I get older and more excited about what I do, I find myself returning to that beginning, the very beginning of the Bible, the very beginning of human existence, the very beginning of how God sees the world, not how science sees the world. I was a scientist for a few years. I got halfway to a PhD level, but I didn't quite finish it. But I worked in science for a few years and had to leave it because Christ called me to this work. But though I respect the work of scientists and I respect the teachings of science, I don't really care how scientists see the world. I don't respect the way most scientists see the world. I don't care whether the world is billions of years old or whether scientists are right about how life evolved, because scientists operate within chronos time. That's clock time, measure time, years and months and days. That's chronos time in the language of philosophy and theology. But God does not operate within chronos time. God operates within kairos time. There's a huge difference between chronos and kairos, both Greek words, very established in classical philosophy and throughout the theology of the church. Kairos time is not clock time. It's not a time you look on your cell phone to tell you what time it is. Kairos time is time that has meaning. It's meaningful time. And what I choose to call today liturgical time. Oh, there we go again with liturgy. Yes, my friends, liturgy. Liturgical time. It's how God operates. And when we're not in tune with liturgical time, with kairos time, we're out of tune. We're out of time. You know, if I had a deacon, before the beginning of liturgy, the deacon would say to me, Kairos tu piise to Kyrio. Kairos tu piise to Kyrio. That tu piise to Kyrio, that dative, to Kyrio. Forget your modern Greek, this is ancient Greek. That dative, to Kyrio, lots of omegas there, can be translated either it is time for the Lord to act, or it is time for me to act to serve the Lord. I have always understood it to be it is time for the Lord to act. And actually, that's a phrase from one of the Psalms in the Septuagint version. And there it does mean it is time for the Lord to act. So what I say at the beginning of the liturgy, what the deacon and I say in that exchange, it is time for the Lord to be here to act, and it is time for me to enter into liturgical time. It is time for me and for you to enter, to get in tune with the Lord, with His view of time, with His view of history, with His view of who we are, why we are here. Because you see, God telescopes all the ages of Chronos time into a single narrative. And we get glimpses of that narrative in the Bible. Glimpses. The Bible is not the whole story, regardless of what Protestants tell us. We get glimpses of that in the Bible, very powerful, very important glimpses. But even more, we experience that compression of time in the liturgy. Do you notice what I say, what I read at every liturgy before you kneel, before I say, Tassa ek ton son si prosferomen, we offer to you these gifts. Before I say that, I read the following prayer. Remembering, therefore, this command of the Savior and all that came to pass for our sake, the cross, the tomb, the resurrection on the third day, the ascension into heaven, the enthronement at the right hand of the Father, and the second and glorious coming. Together with everything that we already know has happened, we are also remembering the second and glorious coming, the parousia of Christ, which has not happened yet in Chronos time, but which has happened, and it is always happening in Kairos time, because with that prayer, we are entering into seeing history, into seeing everything through the eyes of God, who operates within Kairos time, with liturgical time. Liturgical time reveals all we need to know about how God sees the world and humanity. Science creates its own narratives, and they are cold, lifeless narratives. No wonder modern man, schooled in the school of science, treats life as a commodity. Instead of the deep mystery that it is embedded in the life of God. Σήμερον η χάρις του Αγίου Πνεύματος ημάς συνήγαγε. Today, the grace of the Holy Spirit assembled us. And taking up the cross of Christ, we say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. Today, throughout the year, throughout the church year, especially on the great holy days, we always say, today Christ is born. Today Christ is risen. Today Christ is baptized. Today Christ is transfigured. It's always today. When we are dealing with God, it's always today because it's God's time. It's Kairos time, meaningful time, not time on a calendar. Yes, we have dates for those feasts. Today is April 13th, Palm Sunday. But today, though, the hymn that I just read to you says, the grace of the Holy Spirit assembled us. And taking up the cross of Christ, we are with him right now, going to Golgotha. We take the cross of Christ and we say together with the children, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. Today we are with those people in Jerusalem welcoming the Lord Jesus Christ. Liturgical time places us in the story of God's love for his creature. In the Ikos of Palm Sunday, which I read a little while ago, O immortal Lord, you have bound hell, slain death, and raised the world. He's already raised us up. Therefore, the children carrying palms sing praises to you as victor, O Christ, and they cry aloud to you this day, Hosanna to the Son of David. You alone are crucified for all, both young and old. No more shall the sword be drawn against us, for your side is pierced by a spear. With great rejoicing then we cry out, blessed are you who came to call back Adam. That's why I like to go back to the first three chapters of Genesis, because it always goes back to Adam. Always goes back to Adam. Not to Neanderthal or Cro-Magnon, Mayan, or whatever other labels scientists give. Back to Adam. Back to meaningful time. Back to meaningful humanity. Back to a meaningful human being. You came to call back Adam. Yes, the doors of paradise have been reopened. Adam can return. Actually, he can return to something even more beautiful than that original paradise that God had created. Blessed are you, O Lord, who came to call back Adam. You and I are Adam. We all are Adam. See, that's the difference between what we do here and what you learn from scientists. It's all impersonal when science talks to us, but here we are Adam. We are Adam. Every day we are Adam. We are exiles from paradise, and we yearn to go back to paradise, to that original beauty that God created in us before sin and evil came in to sully the beauty and purity of what God had created. We all are Adam. Science will not tell you that, but I say that to you. The hymns of the church say that to you. Our theology says that to you. And that is why Jesus wept. We heard it yesterday in the Gospel of Lazarus Saturday. When he went to raise Lazarus, he was overwhelmed with the profundity of the situation. And John writes in chapter 12 of his Gospel, Edakrisen o Jesus. Jesus wept. But this wasn't the only time Jesus wept around that time when he came to Jerusalem. Because Luke tells us something else about that day when Jesus entered into Jerusalem, Palm Sunday. Luke wrote, now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation. The time of your visitation. We also don't know the time. We do not know the kairos of God's visitation unless we are gathered here by the Holy Spirit. Unless we come to this place and hear the words of God and come to understand what our own time of visitation, that our own time of visitation has come. Because today is the day of salvation. Today, we all are Adam, and he's calling us back. So twice in 2 days, Jesus wept. As he came to his own encounter with death, he wept as he saw the entire history of human existence through the eyes of God. But it wasn't meant to be the final word. That's not the end of tears in the Bible. There are more tears in the final pages of the Bible, at the climax of God's narrative, at the climax of God's keros, in the final scene in liturgical time. And the book of Revelation is all liturgical. Forget what these prophets and false prophets are telling you. The book of Revelation is a liturgical book. And there in chapter 21, we hear, "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new." In that final scene of the Bible, history becomes liturgy. And that is liturgical time. That is meaningful time. God makes everything new, and God wipes away every tear. The one who wept over Lazarus and over Jerusalem is the one who will wipe away all our tears. It's the marvelous conclusion to the greatest story ever told. It is the greatest story because it is God's story. God's vision of who we are and who we are meant to be. Beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, you and I are here because the Holy Spirit has gathered us and brought us here. I don't care what you think, why you're here. I know why you are here. The Holy Spirit has brought you here today. You might think that, well, you're just here because it's a big day in the church, so let's make our once a year trip to church. Maybe that's how it is in your Kronos time, but in Kairos time, it's the Holy Spirit who brought you here today. And the Holy Spirit has a purpose, to call back Adam, to lead you to that light that never extinguishes, that light that Christ brought into the world. The Holy Spirit brought you here today so that you will come back, so that you will come back and come back and come back and live in liturgical time and live in God's time, live in God's keros time. And today throughout the world, in Orthodox churches, people from all backgrounds are brought together to begin the journey to the cross and resurrection, and the journey to that final scene in the Bible where all tears will be wiped away. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, who came to call back Adam, who came all of us, to call all of us to liturgy today, to the eternal today. And taking up the cross of Christ, we follow him. We enter into his joy, because the Bible tells us in the epistle to the Hebrews that for the joy set before him, he endured the cross and the humiliation. He enters Jerusalem on a donkey instead of a chariot to tell us that he's a humble king, a humble savior, a humble God who emptied himself in order to fill us with his holiness and his glory. Oh, praise the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. In the second antiphon this morning, if you are here early enough, you heard verses from Psalm 115 in the Septuagint version, which is the ancient Greek version of the Bible. "I believed, therefore I spoke, but I was greatly afflicted. What shall I render to the Lord for all that he has given to me. I will receive the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. What can I possibly give back to the Lord for all that he has given me? All I can do is take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. You are here today to call upon the name of the Lord. You are here today in liturgical time to receive the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. It is the greatest name of all. Call upon him, praise him. May his name always be upon your lips and in your hearts. Oh, praise the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Hosanna in the highest. Amen.